Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is brought to you by Forvis Mazars, an internationally integrated partnership operating in over 100 countries and territories, including South Africa, delivering audit and assurance, tax advisory, and consulting services to clients. Let's kick off this week with banking, which is always a really important sector in any market. Standard Bank and Absa recently released numbers, and they make for rather interesting reading, especially comparing the two. Before we delve into that, let's consider the relative share price performance. Standard Bank is up 14% year-to-date at time of recording, and Absa is up just 1.6%, so there's a clear winner there. The gap is even bigger over 12 months, with Standard Bank at 22.7% and Absa down 8.6%. Over 5 years, Standard Bank, that's up 38.7% and Absa is up 8.8%. So long story short, Absa really has been the perennial underperformer here. Now, some of the recent strength in Standard Bank has come from their businesses in Africa and their exposure to China, but alas, not in the latest period. In fact, it's turned out to be quite the opposite. In the 6 months to June, the African businesses at Standard Bank saw headline earnings decline by 2% in reported currency, i.e. rands. Reported currency is the one that matters. As any suffering telco's shareholder will tell you, it really doesn't help to hold businesses that grow quickly in local currency in Africa when that currency is depreciating at a rate of knots. The much more severe negative move, however, was in the exposure to China, with earnings from ICBCS down by a nasty 48%. For Standard Bank. This is why headline earnings per share, or HEPS, grew by just 4% overall, with strong performances elsewhere offset by both China and Africa. Over at Absa, they don't have the Chinese exposure, which is actually a good thing right now, but their businesses in Africa are doing even worse than at Standard Bank, with headline earnings down by a significant 12%. The rest of Absa's business was rather mediocre, unfortunately, with group HEPS down 5%. And therein lies the performance differential, with Standard Bank still managing mid-single-digit HEPS growth despite challenges, while Absa was down mid-single digits. There is another change in CEO at Absa, adding to years of leadership instability at the Red Bank. Not all banks are created equal, that's for sure. I don't own either of them right now, though, because I think that an environment of decreasing interest rates will offset much of the positive GNU sentiment. Instead, to play where we are in the rate cycle right now, I hold property stocks. When rates come down, the banks make less money and the property stocks make more money. But more on that later. Before we get to property, I referenced telcos in that bank snippet and the challenges they've had with African currencies. I therefore just have to deal with MTN, which has now released earnings for the 6 months to June. They are terrible, basically, with service revenue down 20.8% and EBITDA down 41.2%. At headline earnings level, well, there aren't actually any headline earnings anymore. There are now only headline losses, with a swing from HEPS of R2.60 per share to a loss of R2.56 per share. That's a big swing. The cause of this massive headache is Nigeria, where EBITDA collapsed by over 68% on a reported basis. Naturally, there is no MTN dividend for this period, not with numbers like these. And they will also need to find a way to extend their BEE deal at MTN, which is on a collision course to mature worthless in November. They are looking to extend it by 3 years to November 2027 to give it a better chance of success, which would need the MTN share price to recover considerably. For that to happen, Nigeria's currency situation needs to improve, and this is by no means guaranteed, even over the extended timeframe. We end this week's Ghost Rap on a positive note, and I told you that I would deal with property. In this case, property fund NEPI Rockcastle, which has delivered not just solid results for the 6 months to June, but also increased the full year earnings guidance as well. Central and Eastern Europe is proving to be quite the little honeypot for property funds, with the region experiencing strong economic growth and healthy levels of inflation that combine to create a great environment for landlords. This is because when there is demand for retail space, base rentals can be increased and turnover clauses become really powerful, with retail landlords sharing in the success of tenants. And this is why I vastly prefer retail properties to residential. Your landlord can't just come and charge you more rent on your apartment because your salary went up. But the honey wasn't quite as sweet in this period as it could have been, though, with an increase in net operating income of 13.5%, only translating into growth in distributable earnings per share of 5.6%. The sooner the debt costs come down, the better for property funds. Although NEPI's balance sheet is in a great place right now with a loan-to-value ratio of 32.2%, those finance costs still bite. Nevertheless, the strong first half means that full-year guidance for growth in distributable earnings per share has been upgraded from 4% to 5.5%. The dividend should follow suit, with NEPI offering a payout ratio of 90%. In other words, most of the profits get paid to investors, which is exactly what you want to see in a property fund. One thing I would be careful of in this sector is scrip dividend alternatives, which basically means that instead of a cash dividend, shareholders can elect to receive more shares. This is part of why the HEPS performance at NEPI Rockcastle is also down versus net operating income, or at least less exciting than the net operating income would suggest. When there are far more shares in issue, those profits need to be shared by more shareholders. So always keep an eye on that and just take it into account in your HEPS growth expectations from these funds. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Wrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.